shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good evening, Northern California. How are we doing? Look, I'm going to get it right. It's Wednesday, August 24th. There you go, 6 p.m.
What's the year?
I don't know. this is Nigel and James. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm glad to see that we've settled into our normal Reading summer.
Yeah, I just saw, though, I looked at my phone. It said, what, next week, maybe in the high mid-90s?
Okay, so cooling. It's cooling off then. That's
yeah,
good.
It'll be just enough to trick you into think that fall's approaching, and it'll whip you back right into 115.
Yep, that's right. So today should be interesting. We have with us our good friend Jim Wadley.
Jim, you haven't been around in a while.
I know. Well, they don't. They don't let me out much.
For those who don't know, Jim is our Reading Airport manager. He's the guy that keeps all the flights and passengers in check.
Mm.
And we also have with us, he's becoming a regular fixture with us, Jason from Reading Buzz. How's it going, Jason?
Oh, I'm doing good. Today's been busy, like you guys.
Right?
You've been a busy bee.
A busy bee. Yep. Thank you, James.
<That's right>. But we wanted to have you on, Jim, because things are cooking at the airport.
They are. There's actually... So
literally.
Much stuff happening. I'm losing track of what we're doing. There's so much. It's good. It's all really good. We're very blessed with a number of grants, and that's kind of what I have in front of me as I just trying to keep track of everything that we've done. Our staff, I mean, we've accomplished a lot. We've, for those that have flown out recently, we've already reconstructed most of our access road. And so some of it is also still underway. So on Airport Road, we have a traffic light out, temporary light, and we'll get through this next phase, and I can't wait to open
that up. It's painful.
Yeah, but can't make omelets without breaking eggs. That's kind of how I
see it. I don't need any analogy. I'm just telling you it's painful. I've been out there twice, and I don't like going in the dirt and all over the stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
That's why we're doing it. Because, you know, the roads are they're overdue, and so we're getting to those now. They're actually very low priority as far as the FAA funding is concerned. So we were able to get a $1.15 million grant, and that was something we finished earlier this summer, and now we're on a $2.83 million grant, and we're currently pursuing another $1 million. So that'll finish all of our access roads, including Flight Avenue. And, you know, we got a master plan, got a grant, $1.2 million grant coming our way for Reading Regional Airport.
I'm noticing a trend.
And
$1 million.
Yeah. Well, I'm
$1 million.
I do exceed $1 million here and there. But we, you know, we're doing drainage studies as well, and a lot of these things are needed so that you can get to that next step in design stages. And you know, we have a runway rehab that we're already starting to trickle out and drip out. That 2024, we're going to rehab our primary runway, 7,000 feet long.
Tear it out and replace it, or just cover it under another layer?
Well, we are the top two lifts, the asphalt lifts, about 4 inches, so we're going to mill that out, and we're going to put what's called a leveling course. We're actually too flat on the runway. So once you touch a project, the FAA kind of requires you to bring it to new standards. So we're going to put a little crown in there. It's going to be...
For water?
Just so it drains off. It's really important to get that drainage. And
I like hydroplating when I'm landing.
Well, I don't know if everybody else does, but we're going to put that leveling course.
When you're inside the plane going, whoa.
You could charge extra for that.
Here's your ride.
But put another 4 inches back. So in reality, it's going to be a little bit thicker than when we pull it out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a six-week type of a closure that we're really doing hard, working really hard. We think we can squeeze that down to 25 days.
So that means there are no flights coming in and out?
That's correct. Now, our crosswind runway will stay open.
I was going to say, don't you have the second one?
Until we do the intersection. Mm-hmm. So then that'll overlap about 2 weeks at the most. So, but we're going to be working with the airlines well in advance to make sure that they're not booking around that time. We could do it a lot of different phases, or we can just do one. And I'm a fan of doing just one and done. Power through it.
Yeah.
And try to get that thing done.
That's actually really weird. I never even thought about that, right? I mean, like, I can't imagine you shutting an airport down just to, if you need a runway.
If it wasn't for the fact that we have to put that leveling course, we could just mill out a lane and put it back in the middle of the night. But we're going to have that differential grade, so we can't do that.
Yeah.
Runways are very, very particular, and it's got to be sterile. I mean, it's got to be, you can't have any foreign object debris.
So we'll have a new runway.
We'll have a new runway in 2024.
Okay, so that's a while away.
That's a while away. Yeah. But we're planning now and just kind of demystifying what we're doing. But those grants, we're doing the design for that, and that's 1.1 and change, million, around that 1 million mark again. Uh-huh. And then what else are we doing? We're doing terminal assessment study. That was about 500,000. And before that was the airport strategic plan, 225,000. And our council was really interested in that, so we were able to get that thing funded. So by doing so, we're able to kind of jump through the gates a little bit quicker than other airports, because there is a pot of money out there. I mean, I've identified 15 different funding sources for this terminal, and terminals are revenue generating anyway, but one pot there is 95% funded. So
when we say terminal, we're talking about a second terminal, right?
It will be a new one. We can repurpose what we have, but what the FAA already has acknowledged, you can't, if you're already too small, you can't do construction while you're open. So you have to build somewhere else. But we have a perfect spot just to the south that we've identified as a potential target. We still got to go through a little bit of planning for that, but.
And then you just connect them by a tunnel.
Yep, we'll have a corridor. We'll have a corridor that'll.
Yeah, that's how it works. You build it, it's all done.
It'll be the world's shortest metro.
Yeah, I know.
It'll be a.
You can get Tesla. They'll do boring. You could borrow a tunnel right to it.
Well, I don't know if they'll come to our airport to do that, but I can try.
I'll ask Elon.
All of 20 feet.
I'll ask Elon. We're like this.
But we hope to have, instead of one gate that three airlines are kind of fighting to use, with corridor issues, because you have people deplaning and implaning at the same time.
Oh, no, it's a cluster out there.
TSA doesn't like that. You don't want to be switching airplanes.
Yeah, I mean, and not to not to make people not want to go to the airport, but I go there all the time to pick up people, and it is unbelievable the plane came in and people are starting to unload, and then, oh, look, there's another plane, and they're unloading, and then, oh, my God, there's a third plane, and they're unloading, and you go inside, and you're like, what?
Our peak times.
Are we in an airport or a stadium watching a football game? And there's people everywhere.
Those peak hours can be really incredible. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping, well, we know we have a parking stall, an aircraft parking spot, and we ideally would have a gate for each. So one of the things we have to do is we have to do a forecast. And there's methodologies on how the FAA allows you to do these forecasts. You have to take 2 years prior to current. Well, that puts us in the middle of COVID.
Yep.
Mm. So we were able to use 2019 numbers, which was a very good year. In fact, it was our best year in recent years. And when you forecast that out 20 years, that passenger number times the square footage per passenger is how big your terminal is supposed to be.
Mm.
Well, there's a problem. The problem is the forecast that we're supposed to have by 2022, again, this is because we went from 2019 to even through looking at now, we actually already exceeded our forecast in the first several months of this year. So our forecasts are way off. We are double our 2019 numbers, which is, again, our best year in recent years. So you can't just use those methodologies, because you would be using the numbers would be wrong right off the bat. So we're working with the FAA to use some of these other numbers and to call it a Redding curve because of our growth, and we have so much more potential. It's important to me that we don't build a small terminal and then in short order do it again. I want to put good money forward. So
what you're saying is Redding Airport is kind of busy right now. It's buzzing.
It's buzzing. I like it.
It is. It absolutely is, and it's undisputed.
Would our new terminal have, like, real airport gates, or are we still going to have to walk out onto the runway?
Well, that's my objective, is to...
I'm like, do I have to go in the heat, or are you going to keep me air-conditioned?
James, don't worry. There'll be a there'll be a flight, especially if you 1 a.m.
Okay. Well, 1 a.m.
Go
James,
in the dark.
Go to break.
In the dark.
This is great. Let's get back into it. We'll be right back. Thanks.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. Good evening, Northern California. Nigel and James.
Sure,
and
we have, sweet.
I know, right? We have Jason, Reading Buzz with us. And we have our good friend Jim Wadley, Reading Airport Manager. Reading is buzzing.
The we were
airport
talking
is
about
growing.
Real onboarding.
Well, we were talking about the kind of terminal you wanted. You just wanted a shade cover. That's all I heard you say. You just wanted a shade cover.
Oh, my mistake.
I heard that.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, this is James we're talking about. He wants air conditioned. Yeah. He wants the plush couches. Yeah.
Well, I want the little scooter that can drive me to the door.
Well, I tell you what, we're actually at a really interesting point in time. So I'm arm wrestling the FAA right now, right? Because I'm trying to say, look, you're not giving Reading a good look. Look at our numbers. Look at the growth. Look at everything. So I'll be doing a presentation with them.
Do you need a Vanna? I'd like to be Vanna.
It could help. You throw enough people at them, maybe they'll listen. But, you know, what we need to start doing, in my opinion, is start dreaming. What do we want for this terminal? I would think that this community wants, you know, gift shop, food court, lounges, breastfeeding rooms.
I think this community wants a flight to Mexico.
You know, that is something we're looking at, and there's been discussions with airlines.
He just jumped right in there. How many?
I think he's baiting me to get me to talk.
I'm still waiting for Denver.
He's baiting.
For those that can't see it, I got my arm behind my back.
He's
stepping on me.
He's trying to get it out of me. I'm in the whole marketing thing.
Stop hitting me.
This is a whole marketing thing because
I'm still waiting for Denver.
There's still something magical about that word international, you know. This.
We just changed it to regional. And you know what's funny?
But if you have a single flight that leaves the borders, then you just immediately become international.
International, yeah. And then one day interstellar.
That sounds good.
But, you know, somebody had a really funny joke. So now that we had Reading Municipal change to Reading Regional, we're going to change Benton to Reading Municipal.
Yeah.
That won't confuse anybody.
No.
Yikes.
No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to. It was a funny joke, but we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's a lot we can do because the FAA is only going to pay for so much. There's a lot of other ways to fund projects. But really, we need to decide, you know, and this is a council decision, and, you know, what do we want to look like? What kind of architecture do we want to go?
Well, speaking of that, we just got a question. Will the runway be increased in length?
So, not that project. Now, there. Having said that, it doesn't
bring
your
own shovel.
There's a couple of ways. Actually, there's a few ways to get a runway extension. Now, I did meet with somebody.
Would it be needed though? Really?
Well, here's we don't need it for air service now, unless we do go to.
Acapulco?
Yeah. Well, what we need it for is the very large air tankers. And that's the,
for fire.
That's the interest. Yeah, that's the interest that exists right now. I had some pretty good meetings recently. And if we can make things happen, which in my opinion, it's not going to with the sequence of events that needs to happen, it's not going to happen in time for 2024. But we could get We could get a runway extension at some point in the future. We have the real estate. We have
Would that be on the north or south side?
It'd be on the north side.
It'd be on the north side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And so our master plan, a current one right now, not the one that we're getting a grant for and it's going to take another 18 months to complete, but the one that we already have approved and adopted, it already shows a 1,000-foot extension. And it shows a parallel runway because the crosswind runway, believe it or not, it's no longer eligible for FAA funding assistance.
Because it
doesn't have enough operations, and if you look at why, it doesn't have a parallel taxiway and intersection, so it doesn't have much capacity.
Hmm.
So when you have high fuel prices and you're paying for your instructor, you're not going to want to have to wait to cross the runway, because as you land, it takes about another minute, depending on what aircraft you fly, then you got to cross, taxi back, cross again. It's just a long time. So it's not well used for the flight training and things. Maybe cargo will come in, but it also doesn't meet the prevailing winds requirement for the FAA, and that's our primary runway that covers it. So,
because I was going to say, I just thought it was big enough as it is. I mean, Air Force One came in, and I thought
the primary, yeah.
I'm like, it landed and took off just fine. So,
but the particular with that is the for those aircraft, and I don't know if it's an insurance or union thing, but you need to have 2 hours of fuel. So you have to have a lot of fuel, and then you have to have the fire retardant. So when you're heavy and it's hot out,
mm-hmm.
you need another 1,000 feet. So that's the reason for that, because
hot and heavy,
pretty much.
There you go.
So that's my middle name.
It is something we're looking at, even at high levels and in concept discussions. There are different ways to go about it, but
Needs a longer runway is Benton.
If we do it according to what we think, doing it proper, it's $32 million.
That's for 1,000 feet,
Jason. Yes.
Whoa.
Yep. No check. Okay. I was just going to see if Jason had it, but he doesn't have it.
No.
32 million.
No.
32 million.
So, hey.
That's insane.
How are the how are the flights doing from Reading to Seattle, Vegas, Burbank, L.A.?
Yeah, that's what I was going to
ask. The load factor is pretty good. So despite the high fuel prices and probably the – I haven't really heard a lot about high ticket prices – but I do know that they're pretty steady, not 100% full, but you'll see 85% to 92%, on a regular basis.
That's, I think, is really
and it's,
great.
It is good, despite, the inflation and all that. We still have a lot of people.
Well, fuel prices for you to drive to Sacramento, just there and back for your car.
Well, we do know some feedback, like, for example, with Alaska. Our airport is actually outpacing other airports in the North State by a healthy margin. So we're doing pretty good. That's not a concern of mine. The future expansion, San Diego's our number one destination, and it's not met by anybody right now. And we have, there's interest.
That's where most of people are traveling. Is
for
some
reason,
San Diego.
Yes, that's where most people are going right now.
LA so when they go, could you tracking that? Are they driving to Sacramento and then flying?
No, these are based on purchases. Ticket purchasing. So we do a number of different things.
So you guys can see when they're booking that if it's even outside your airport, if it lands somewhere else and there's a connection, you get that data.
This data is tracked by the DOT, and our consultant basically decodes it and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So we present that to the airline. So LA was our number one market for quite some time, and it's fed by two airlines right now. And now San
LAX
Diego,
and Burbank.
San Diego's kind of booming. And then we are talking about international, but we also have Denver. So we got to remember, we have $1 million in hand. It's a revenue guarantee. The Department of Transportation invested $760,000. We put up a local match of $240,000, and that's for that Denver service with United. So all we're waiting on is the pilots. There is a pilot shortage, believe it or not. With the airlines,
I've done my ground school, so I'm close.
Well, we gotta get you in the air, James, because we could use you at Denver.
Oh, oh God!
But
the suicide run.
But the reason for that too is airlines had to keep people salaried and paid, mm-hmm. so they early retired a lot of pilots, and it's hard to get them back when things started booming. And not only that, your flight training essentially stopped because of close quarters. So you couldn't.
What was that?
That was me.
Oh, was it you?
There's another fire out there. But
that was a cool sound.
That lag with the flight training, you know, as it started picking back up again, it's we're only just seeing that. And so there's some things in the works to hopefully help that, even maybe locally if we can do it. And I can maybe talk about that someday, but I would be very excited about those that that do know about it, and we can make it happen.
That should be some kind of a curriculum inside even high schools at this days, where people could get some, like, ROTC, that, but just they get them out at the airport and train them how to fuel planes. Just get them the bug, right? Like,
well, there's a path that could be a little bit accelerated, and working with an airline here, literally Reading, working with an airline.
Sure.
So that's something we're looking at too.
Yeah.
So it's not we definitely are working on a lot of things, and we still have.
So did the whole airport thing out there with all the Chinese students, did that end?
No, they hung on, and now they're going like gangbusters.
Okay.
They're busy. That aircraft. Count is, I mean, at any time is like 20, 24 aircraft in the sky of theirs.
And
it's, at one time.
That's good, because really I had heard that it was closing, and I was really like, wow, that's a big blow.
But what's great about that, too, is they also opened their doors to local training. It's not just the contract for international students.
Okay. And that was local. The thing that was the bummer, I thought, was like, what? You know, I mean, it's here in our backyard, but yet they will only take Chinese students. I was like, well, why?
In general, the health and the forecast of Reading Airport and the air travel is good.
Yes, onward and upward. I mean, we really are. Everything, all signs are pointing to like record breaking. It's this year is going to be a very good year for stats, and you know, and that we take to other airlines.
So,
Denver. Before we go, Denver. I keep asking what ETA you think and guessing when you find a pilot.
So I have two crystal balls.
Uh huh.
And if it's not next summer, it's the... I just realized.
Good for you.
You guys are in the gutter. But if it's not the next summer, then it's the following. So we know United wants it. They support it. Mm-hmm. And it's a great market.
I would think that would end up very quickly becoming maybe your top destination, just because
San Diego.
You're heading east.
Be here before Denver?
Could.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, there's things that still need to happen.
Yep.
And I've got some more ideas for that. But you know, but that's exciting to be part of that kind of stuff, to you know, do affect that kind of change, and I really like it, cuz it's not my strength. My strength is grants and you know, the project.
You're doing
that
fine, my friend. You're
I appreciate it. And I like that people like what they see at the airport. I really do. I think it's it just makes it all worth it, and you know, I wish my staff was listening. I couldn't do what I do without the staff that I have.
You have a great staff. They do.
We're lucky.
They're
the
fun.
City's lucky.
Mm-hmm. So here's an odd question.
Yeah.
One of my kind of an odd video series on YouTube is some of these major airports with all the lost luggage, and after a certain amount of time, they keep all the lost luggage, and then they just auction it off, and people can come in, and they just and they bid on.
Closed packages.
Like
storage units.
The good news is that doesn't exist here because they do a really good job.
No lost luggage overflow at Reading?
No, there's lost luggage, but the way everything is connected, you know who it is, and you have the contact information, and let's just say they make it on a plane and they're gone, they can get the bag to that person. It's not an issue here.
I know we're supposed to go to another break, but stupid question, I guess. Does it make sense to have a flight out of Reading into Sacramento?
Yes.
Yes.
It does?
It does.
Okay.
We're not there yet.
Okay. But I was just wondering. I didn't know if that was a smart thing or a stupid thing. But I'm always like, gosh, I'd like to just fly to Sacramento.
My opinion is a market there.
Yeah.
Being able to connect, you know.
But just getting to Sacramento.
You know, I'm not going to spill the beans, but there's things we're looking at, and, you know,
You have a lot. You have a big pot of beans, and I think you're just stirring them a lot.
there's a team involved with this too, and it's not just me. And that's what I love about being here is there's so many good people I get to work with, and you get to, you know, look over your shoulder someday and say, look at that. That was worth it. Mm-hmm. That was so cool. So.
Charlie Good, thank you very much. This is the end of the first half hour. Enjoy some Van Halen, and thank you, Chad Phillips, Vista Real Estate, for sponsoring our show.
Chatty boy.
We'll be right back.
All right.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back for the evening, Northern California. It's Wednesday, August 24th. Look at that.
2002.
That's right.
Ooh, going by fast.
And it's 115 out.
115. It is.
Yeah, not quite.
No, it's not quite. It's
bye,
only,
Jim.
It's,
bye, Jim.
See you, Jim. Thank you.
Don't you love Jim?
It's only 100. Cool. It's only 103.
I totally love him.
Yeah, he's awesome,
he's
man.
So cool. And he's so smart.
I know. We met him over at Peter Chu's Sky Room. He's just like full of information.
Like, it never ends.
I know. I was like, you're full
you
of
go
data
into his
here.
Office and just sit there for hours, and he'll just like, there's just so much stuff going on. And the airport is very, very deceiving in what, you know, what his job entails as far as, I mean, they're property management. I mean, all, just layers and layers.
Oh, layers. That's what he said. Yeah. Just so much involved in that.
And I'm like, I can't even imagine you coming aboard and then trying to figure all that out.
He did it. He's doing it now. It's like, and doing a great
job.
Oh,
he's dynamite.
I mean, man.
And just like, a nice human being.
Yeah.
Great dad. Yeah. All kinds of just good stuff.
Positive. All positive vibes there.
Well, the airport is one of those important tentacles because we're into the whole tourism and marketing piece. And, you know, the airport is always a good gauge of where we're going.
Well, and it is, and I think,
mean, literally and figuratively.
Yeah, and I think what's really cool now is we have somebody, and no disrespect to any of his predecessors, but he's, in my opinion, he's done an extraordinary job. But you, an airport is the lifeblood of a community, right? And
yes,
if he
is.
Can continue what he's doing, it will literally put Redding on the map in the state of California. We will no longer be that, you know, stepchild that's in the north. That just,
that's what a lot of people say.
Yeah.
Like,
but, you know, I mean,
where's Redding,
if you're being able to access Redding from just about anywhere, you know, it just changes our trajectory.
I am interested in that, the flights from here to Sacramento. That would be really.
I would love that, yeah. Because I like going to Sacramento to just do things, even for just the weekend.
Right.
But I can't stand to drive that long. I just
that's
hate
brutal.
It. Right? I'd much rather.
Yeah, but you'll drive to Fresno.
Well, I don't have a choice. If I had a flight to Fresno, I would fly. I hate it, you know, but I might be able to. I might be able to if I had a flight to Sacramento and then Sacramento to Fresno. You know, the problem is, you know, it's going to take decades before Redding has those types of connections, right?
Well, it's happening, though. I mean,
yeah.
It's in the,
oh, no, it
process,
is.
You know?
I mean, I could right now technically fly to San Francisco and then from San Francisco to Fresno, probably. But that just seems so out of the way.
Yep.
I'd rather just go straight down.
Straight down. So did you say how many flights were, I mean, how many flights? I mean,
as far as destinations or how many a day?
Like destinations.
So we have Seattle. We have San Francisco. We have L.A. We have Burbank. We have Vegas.
Well, Vegas, right. Dude, that's right. Is Vegas, yeah, Vegas is on there.
Yep.
And they're working maybe possibly Denver, right?
Denver's are already kind of funded. It's just a matter, like he said, it sounded like it was just a matter of getting everything solidified and then getting the pilots that are needed.
There are certain logistics involved in getting it.
But there are dollars that have already been committed, so yeah.
For to Denver?
To Denver, yeah.
Oh.
And then now it sounds like the beans were being stirred.
Yeah, the
to
beans
San Diego.
Were. He spilt the beans.
Yeah. And I saw an extra bean.
Well, that's good because I think we all like beans at this table.
Oh, I like beans, man.
And it sounded like there was one bean I saw that potentially represented Sacramento.
That's right. That's right.
Did you sell it?
No, I was hoping it.
So speaking of beans, Jason, Redding Buzz.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Good.
Ah, super busy every day. It's like it doesn't slow down. I'm telling you that. It's like lock and load. Really busy.
How many
like,
buzzes do you do a day?
Well, yeah, sometimes a couple, sometimes five or six, you know, it varies, yeah. You know. But now we're onboarding somebody full-time where before, like even last week, it was all part-time mm-hmm. and some volunteers too. And now it's gone into like, okay, bringing on Garrett Jones. He's going to be helping me do shout-outs. Really good, a prince of a man. He's just like, he has that community spirit, right, yep. to promote community. He's just really good at that.
He's got the southern soul.
He has a southern soul yeah. there.
A little drawl.
Yeah, has a little drawl. He does, too. It's like,
it's endearing.
Boy. Yeah, it's endearing. Yeah, so it's like, and my roots are kind of from the south, too, though I was born.
In Humble.
Yeah, Humble, yeah.
That's speaking not very of Humble.
Well, my family, I should say my family.
Southern Humboldt.
Yes. My mom's side of the family is from the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee, so.
Oh, okay, that's
a lot of people don't know this too, but my great aunt and uncle were the founders and producers of Hee Haw, the
Seriously?
TV show. Uh huh.
Hee Haw.
Yep. And my great aunt was actually had a costume company, and that was her job. She did all the costuming for Hee Haw and Laugh-In, and
that is crazy.
Yeah, I have a lot of that stuff on my side of the family. My mom was a Vogue model, Teen Vogue. Both my uncles were both in Disney movies, like Follow Me Boys and stuff. And
when they
grew up, my uncle became the head cameraman for Just Shoot Me, Airwolf, Knight Rider. And then my grandfather worked on Doctari and all those old TV shows in black and white and stuff.
You're famous, Jay.
No, I'm not. They were.
Yeah. So things are buzzing for you.
Oh, things are buzzing. Yeah, things are really moving. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of pieces on the board now, and the team's growing. I mean, since we talked.
You seem to be putting together a good little team.
Yeah, I think what happened
dream
there is...
Dream team.
Yeah, the dream team. I think because of my passion... being so absorbed in the community, right, and doing it for so long, I think that other people seeing that, and now they're coming on board, say, hey, let's really promote the North State, let's promote Reading, let's promote this, and
you're like a Pied Piper,
yeah, like a Pied Piper, something like that, mm-hmm. I guess, you know.
So I think we asked this once before, but how many times a day do you get asked for your recommendations of where to go eat?
A lot. I get it. A lot. And private messages, too, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of private messages, like, oh, where's the best Asian place, the best Mexican
And that's
restaurant?
So hard because it is, I mean, you know, obviously there are good places. Everybody knows that there are good places. But it is very, in you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Your taste, right? Your taste buds, how you
Precisely.
Process food, how, you know, because I've eaten places where I say, oh, this is the best place I've ever eaten. And people are like, oh, it is awful. I never have a good meal. I'm like, what? How are you? Are we talking about the same restaurant?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it doesn't make sense. Sometimes like, wait, I didn't get that experience at all, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, that varies across the palate, no pun mm-hmm. intended. But, you know, that's so true. But I get asked that a lot, like, where's the best Asian restaurant or Mexican restaurant or authentic American food, you know?
And then is it hard not to play favorites?
Yes, it is. It is because I have to, I mean, as Rating Buzz, I don't, you know, I remain neutral, right? But then my friends say, no, you know, you're talking
want,
to me.
Yeah.
I want inside, Jay. Come on. Give it to me. You know, it's like,
that would be me.
That's you, James, all the way.
Cut the, you know what?
Yeah, cut down. I want to know the truth.
I know.
That's it. But yeah, and it's like, but what's really surprising, and there's a lot of fusion type foods.
There are.
Culinary coming into play right now. Mm-hmm. And that's really unique. You've seen that develop
I love
right now.
Fusion foods.
Oh yeah, it's just like wow.
So we've been starting to develop Humboldt with the whole taste of Humboldt, and Siskiyou is I think Siskiyou County is kind of on our next year radar. Do you ever make it up to Siskiyou and go scrounge around up there?
Yeah, Siskiyou's awesome. Man. Scrounge around. I would like to use the word buzz around.
Buzz around.
Yeah, buzz around.
It's like, I like that word buzz.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, there's some great places up there. McLeod, obviously, you know, in that area.
Mm-hmm. Up Madalenas.
Yeah.
So for many of the long-time locals here, McLeod seems to be like a favorite.
It's just a really getaway. Quaint little town, and being down in that valley where the river is or whatever, it cools off, and it's just, I don't know, it's just cute, clever, and easy. It's not that far. It's a nice drive usually past the lake and through the hills, and you know.
They're doing, yeah, that's, I like that. I like that drive, actually. It's relaxing.
It is. Everything. Yeah, that one is not
and
bad.
And then, obviously, there's great places to eat there. I mean, the bed and breakfast places.
Did you say McLeod, or did you say Dunsmuir?
I said McLeod.
Oh, well, I'm losing my mind, because I'm sitting here talking about Dunsmuir.
And I know what you're talking about, though.
I know, but my head heard Dunsmuir. Yeah. Sorry, folks.
You're tired, James.
Yes, I am. I love McLeod, though, too.
I was talking about McLeod.
Get on the AM here.
Yes. I heard nothing but Dunsmuir. Sorry, took you down the wrong path.
You must be hungry and thinking of yaks.
Yeah, yaks and Madalenas. But
what are you talking about?
But my mom recently, well, in the last few years, just bought a small home in McLeod, right on Broadway.
Real estate's gone through the roof.
My family likes to go up there and hang out, you know. But yeah, much cooler. And the Mercantile is cool, and the candy store, and you get ice cream and all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, Mercantile rocks.
Mm-hmm.
I love going to, and there's a restaurant on the far right, a breakfast place. It's called the White Mountain Cafe. Their breakfast is a bada bing, bada boom.
I think that used to be owned by, what's her name that owns Deja Vu and, Carlene.
Carlene.
I think she used to own that and then sold it.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
The white.
Yeah, well, it might have been something else.
Oh, okay.
It might have been something else when she had it. But I remember having breakfast there and talking to her and discovering that she has a house in McLeod, and that's why they had that there. And then went up for breakfast when we stayed up there, and I was like, what are you doing here? And she's like, this is my place.
And I was like, so they on the other end of that, they have the, on the opposite end of the Mercantile, they have the fine dining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have not done that one.
Oh, that's cool, because they have the original, authentic, it used to be a butcher place, right?
Yeah.
Where you hang meat.
And
you can see the rack on the rails up there where they slide the, you know.
The carcasses.
Yeah, the carcasses, carcasses around, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, it's pretty cool.
I heard something about there was also a basement. There's a basement that they were going to convert into a bar or something at some point.
Oh, yeah. They were working on that when we were talking about that. Yeah. Yeah. That has a lot
to do, and you're just a hop, skip, and a shot from Shasta, Mount Shasta. So,
have you ever made it up to little town of Burney?
Yeah, I've been up and through Burney several times. I've never really focused on shout outs there. That's on the list to go up there with the team and just, you know, spread the love, elevating that community.
Right,
but that has a lot of history too, a lot of good places to eat.
So, you know, we sometimes forget, doing what we're doing with Shasta County, exactly how big it is, right? Shasta County is 3,800 square miles. And we tend to stay within this Redding, Anderson, Shasta Lake City corridor, all right? But we forget actually how big it is.
Just right, yeah, just right on our back door. There's so much opportunity here. I guess there's a group of people that don't want you to talk about all the great things to do here because they don't want the people coming in, but it's hard not to talk about it, right? All the great things
to
do here.
We've talked about this as far as, it's a double-edged sword. We don't want so many people coming here. But as it stands right now, the sheer percentage, the number of people who are coming here is one, right?
And I think, honestly, there are a lot of people that literally, once they've done a summer here, they're like, you know, that's what's kept it under control. People are like,
no way
could I live there.
And I say that
every summer myself, and I'm like, I don't know why I'm still here, but I am. But most people, they're like, I could not do that every year.
Yeah, that is. Well, I don't know how hot it was today. I mean, all this week has been a boiler. It's like, oh, man.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, after a while, you get used to it, right? I mean, after about 8 years, you get
I don't.
You get used to it?
I've been off and on here since I was in first grade out in Bella Vista, Mrs. Collins' class. I still hate it.
Well, I've got news for you, James. At this point, it's not going to change.
Oh, I know.
So
it's getting hotter.
You know,
it seems like it's getting hotter.
I know.
But I think there's a market. There's a market. There's a big market of people who would actually enjoy the heat.
Ugh.
who don't even know yet that this.
Well, a lot of people in your cool climates, like
people with arthritis
and arthritis too. Yeah, but yeah, the cooler climates, they come right. in, and only takes a couple seasons of that, and they're thawed out.
Well, that's kind of funny because in comparison, L.A. is a cooler climate compared to this, right?
Mm.
Cooler climate,
right?
Yeah,
so, excellent. All right, end of segment number three.
Yeah,
and we'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least three realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least three realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Good evening, Northern California. We're back. This is Nigel and James.
Hello.
And we have Peggy. Peggy from...
Do I sound like a Peggy?
Peggy from some other company. So, you know...
Peg.
Peg. How you doing?
Peg. I'm not going to run with that one.
Well, we were going to give our... Because we get a lot of new listeners. People who are new to town. Right,
mm-hmm.
And we get people in at Enjoy who are new to town. They just moved here,
yeah.
Come to visit, and they're just like you. They're always asking, okay, what are some of your favorite places to go eat? Right, because this is definitely a food town.
Was out
in Humboldt last week, and they've got the restaurant thing down pat. But
it's all that ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm food.
Oh, yeah. And,
are you serious?
Uh-huh. But so do we. So do we. I was actually talking to two of the proprietors over there, two of the chefs over there, and they were even commenting on the Reading restaurants, and they were asking me, hey, where should we go to go eat? Like, what's here? Because they've heard good things about our restaurants, right? So if
Peggy.
You know, somebody comes to town and says I'm here for a few hours and I need one place to go eat or my top three places to go eat. Where do you send them?
Well, I would ask them what kind of food though. I mean, what kind of food are they hungry for, right? I mean, that's a no-brainer.
You to break it down a little bit.
Like, okay, well,
right? Genre.
Yeah, like, genre, you know, so type of food, you know, right? So it's like it's pizza. Okay, so I'm looking at saving a dollar too, right? I mean, so that would be, if it was pizza, it would be Good Times Pizza and Things, because that's all you could eat buffet, chicken, salad, and pizza.
Where?
At Good Times Pizza.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Good Times, yeah.
Uh-huh. And for only $10. So
wow.
That's a no-brainer, especially if you have kids or family or guests, whatever. I mean, $10 feeds everybody as much as you could eat. I mean, when I go there, it gets scary because I eat a lot of chicken. I don't really eat a lot of pizza, but I put a hurting on that chicken.
But see, in this day and age, if somebody said, I got to be honest with you, in this day and age, if somebody said $10 all you can eat, I'm going to question it. Like, how long is it
quality? No, you mean quality or?
Yeah.
No, I get that. Yeah. My wife absolutely, for whatever reason, detests buffets and I love them. And for me, it's like, you know, I don't know.
She doesn't like buffets.
No, I don't know why. Huh. I do because I love selection. I love control, right? There's nothing more than I love to like build my own ice cream sundae or do that kind of stuff, right? So for me, I like them. And the quality of food, I know, is not going to be where it is if I go somewhere else, but yeah. I don't care. I just like to eat. So I will eat, you know, I'll be as bougie as you want me to be at the top with caviar and champagne. But I love white trash food too. I mean, I was like, I will eat anything. I'm kind of like a raccoon.
I was like a raccoon.
I'll eat dumpster dive. I'll do it. Whatever.
You're a dumpster diver, James. That's what you are. I'll eat anything.
I'll just like everything.
To be honest with you, I have a hard time with caviar and all that. Like, not much to it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So okay. So good time. Fun. Good time.
Yeah, so, good times, pizza and things would be up there. To tell people, my friends or anybody else, that, you know, if you want a good deal, quality pizza, all you could eat, you know, chicken, salad, that would be good times. Now, if it was fusion, okay, there's a fusion of flavors here. I would probably go with the Fusion Lounge.
I was going to say fusion.
I mean, that's the...
It's in the title.
Yeah, it's in the title, right? But also, I like the Rustic Table. I don't know if you guys have ever eaten there at the Rustic Table.
I haven't.
Oh, bada bing, bada boom. That's an eye roller. I mean, that's really good food.
And where's that located?
It's right off Shasta View there. I mean, Victor, right at Stumpy's Liquor Store.
Okay.
Right next door to that.
Okay.
And... yeah, and it's like really high quality fusion food, but it's like so worth the price. I mean, it's really good. I love the pho's that they make there, mm-hmm. right, and the different types of wraps. But it's like you definitely know you got something there different for that flavor, for the fusion of Asian, you know, flair to it.
Right on. So have you at this point been to every hole in the wall in Reading?
I don't know any place I haven't hit yet. I mean, you know, because it's all food and drink. Like, I went to Shack Social and I had to tell you need to stop bringing out food and drinks. There's only so much in this tank I can put down, you know. And the chef Drew there is doing a great job. By the way, it's like, wow, man, you guys are really doing a great job. And it's they're a whole different category of quality food there. You know, you guys probably have ate there.
I actually have not, but they come into our store all the time and they grab a lot of the local products off our shelf to try for when they're creating some new dishes and stuff, which is really cool.
Yeah, they're really out there with experimenting with food. But mm-hmm. I mean, when you have a Michelin rated chef, I mean, that says a lot for
that means he's a good tire salesman. Yeah, that's what I think.
I know.
Whenever somebody says they're a Michelin rated chef, I'm like, selling
what
tires.
What does that have to do with rubber?
Person that said that, by the way, today.
What does that have to do with rubber?
Does that mean I can bring my car in?
Yeah, we want nothing but the truth.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I've never got that one, but it's fine. I get it.
Yeah,
it's French.
Yeah. I know, but I always think of tires.
Yeah.
Sorry. let's see. How about the hole in the wall at the Vallejo gas station?
Yeah, on the corner of Oregon and Turn Creek.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the one that has the burritos?
Okay, so every place has their what's that, James?
Is that breakfast? What's the restaurant inside or the?
It's Mexican food.
It's Mexican,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a combination. But I mean, they have American.
Isn't it Turn Creek and Browning? No, Oregon. Is that it?
Is it right near the theater?
Wait, I think it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. My kids go there all the time for the burritos.
Yep. The burritos there are legendary. Yeah.
James got me all mixed up when he said something about Michelin and rubber. I went sideways there. But yeah, they actually so. Every place has their flagship product, right? That they excel in, or I think that they excel in. Some obviously have more than that, but I think what they excel in over at that gas station is called El Delicioso.
Yeah,
right?
That's what the name of it is.
They is their actually their nachos.
Mm.
Oh yeah. Mm. Put it down.
I know somebody who's listening who's going to want nachos.
Yeah. Nachos go to El Delicioso. Now, we go there all the time to get the burritos because you can get them with the potatoes.
For those who don't know what we're talking about, it's the gas station.
Yeah, with the drive-thru. It has a drive-thru, so it's a restaurant inside.
Yeah, it's a restaurant. But, I mean, you would say that's kind of sketchy that there's a Mexican restaurant inside the gas station, right? But, I mean, it's good.
That's
what
I'm talking about. Like, I don't care because sometimes you find the best food in the world. There was a place up on the top of Placer. Just right there next to the
pizza place up there on top.
Yeah, but there was next to it in the Chevron, there was a place called Zippy's, and it was Korean food, and there was a Korean couple that worked there, and it was basically attached to the Chevron, and they made wicked Korean food. I mean, I cried when I found out they closed.
You know, well, I'm sure Jason here would know. So, are there any good Korean places around town?
Yeah, there is. I was just going to say that of all the places I haven't really gone in and did a shout out, of all the places is Jack's.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, and I think I went there once years ago. But that is, I told Don over there, I'll come in and do a shout out, but I haven't made it over there yet. But that's one place I can honestly say I have not been in that place and did a shout out.
It's sacrilege because I go there and I would eat six bowls of their salad. Talk about just nothing. It's just lettuce and some canned green beans, but their blue cheese dressing that they drown it in is like, and then cracked pepper. Oh my God, I could eat it all night long. And I don't ever even order a steak when I go there. I order the prawns.
You order the prawns?
The beer battered prawns.
Over at Jack's.
Yeah. I've never ordered a steak there in my entire life.
It's always the prawns. That's
what, I get, the prawns.
Jack's, yeah.
Everybody goes there for the steak. I had to like the prawns. The size of your fist. They're awesome.
Did he ever take you through a tour through that building when you went there? Mm-hmm. There's some interesting history there.
Oh, yeah. But I've been going there since I was 6 years old. When my dad used to take us there, you'd open the door, and they had those red lights, right? It was literally two layers. There was, like, at about 3 feet, there was clear air, and then above it, it was just a layer of smoke. That was before they banned smoking in restaurants.
Well, that was like in the
You'd
70s,
open the door, and it was like a whiteout. It looked like a cloud.
Wow.
And those waitresses, a lot of them have been working there for literally 100 years.
Well, over at Jack's.
Yeah. It's awesome.
That's a long time. I actually have not been to Jack's yet. So.
You haven't been to Jack's? Nigel. Do you like blue cheese?
Yes, of course I love blue
cheese. Okay, I'll take you.
All right.
don't leave me. Get buzzing there somewhere.
I'll let you watch the door.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Hey, so Sailing Boat, that was one of our local favorites.
Oh, yeah.
So they're done, right? Or the original couple, the original family, right?
Right.
So, but there's some buzz around the Sailing Boat. Are they back in business?
Yeah.
Sailing Boat 2, right?
Yeah. Sailing Boat, it'll be...
Sailing Dinghy?
Yeah.
Sailing Submarine?
Well, so that whole thing is going to be changed to, like, it's going to be Asian food, right? It's going to be it's going to be a fusion of...
Where is Sailing Boat?
Right there on Turn Creek.
Okay.
Right there on the right-hand side.
It's been
side
there forever. Has the round porthole window.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Charmaine's?
Yeah, Charmaine that owns the Sweet Spot.
Sweet Spot, yeah.
Right? And so, that's going to be the guy that owns that, him and his wife that owns that, they're really going to build that building and do some remodeling. But he owns a drive-thru, Asian fusion drive-thru over in Palisadero.
Yeah,
drive through of all places, but
it's the it's Mexican Chinese.
Yeah, Chinese. Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah,
we go there when my kids were in
Mexican
school.
Mexican Chinese is that a burrito with chopsticks or something?
Kind of. I mean, you could, but yeah. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah. So there, he's got
pot stickers and a burger, or stuff like that.
Yeah, he actually sells a lot of that too. Drive through, especially with firefighters and all that coming through. He goes, they stay really busy with that. You know, so, but what I was going to say about the sailing boat, it is like it's going to be a fusion again, but it's going to be without letting too many spill in the bings. Yeah. It's going to be,
don't spill the wonton.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening, and I'm having a lot of businesses reach out to me and say, hey, there's more things happening. So yeah. I can't keep up with that. That's why I need somebody else.
That whole fusion thing is awesome. One of my favorite sauces that we get at the store is a husband and wife, and he's Chinese and she's Jewish, and they have a sauce that's called soy vey.
Oh,
it's soy sauce and something, you know.
Okay, guys, I'm getting hungry.
Okay.
So listen, this wraps up our hour. Thank you very much, James and Jason. Ready,
absolutely.
Buzz. Thank you very much. I think some good things lie ahead.
Yeah, a lot of things.
All right, rock on.
Yeah,
we'll
rock on.
See you next week.
Rock on.
All right.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.